The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Before the homily, a few words of thanks. First of all, I'm grateful to Father Dennis Howard for letting me bump him today for Mass, though he's grateful for me that I agreed to do this. So, you know, today's his 55th birthday. He's still a youngster. So I stopped in and sang to him happy birthday before Mass. And he loved it. At least that's what he told me. This is also Catholic Schools Week. I want all the kids in the Catholic school to stand up. All the kids in the Catholic school stand up. Thank you all for being part of it. No, we got the choir too. Wonderful group of kids. Thank you so very much. Now I want all the parents of the kids to stand up that are in our Catholic school. Thank you so very much, parents. I know it's a great sacrifice that you make to pay for tuition and be involved in the school, but I thank you and I appreciate it deeply. So thanks for that commitment. God bless you all. And I know a lot of the grandparents help out too, but I'm not going to have you stand up. As we do every January and February, we hear today a selection from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. This letter deals with a real parish community, the one at Corinth in present-day Greece. And many of the problems that Paul handles are issues which continue to confront us to this day. Over the past 2 Sundays, we have heard Paul lay a solid foundation for overcoming the divisions which afflicted that parish in Corinth. The people in that parish had to realize that they were one body in Jesus Christ, in which every person needed every other person. No one was superior or inferior to anyone else. Since all of the gifts and the differences that they had came from God, just as God willed it. Today, St. Paul wants the Corinthians to seek what he calls the greater gifts. Notice that they're still called gifts. They are not something anyone has earned, and so should not be bragged about. Paul lists several of these gifts, all of which are good. They're all good. Some of them he values more than others, such as prophecy, and some he values less, such as speaking in tongues. But even though all these gifts are good, since they are from God, these gifts are useless. Every single one of them, useless, if I do not have love. Paul even wants it to be clear that something that seems so loving as feeding the hungry can be done for reasons other than love. And then it is of no merit to the one who feeds the hungry. Paul even goes to the extreme here. He says that someone may be willing to lay down his life for something, or as he puts it, be willing to hand his body over. But again, if it is done without love, it amounts to zip, to nothing. Well, that's pretty strong. Next, Paul wants to help us understand what love is and what it is not. We love when we do not fail the other person. And thus, we always think the best of the other. We keep faith and hope about the other. And we never give up on the other. This is, after all, the very kind of love that God has for each and every one of us. And so it is the love that we are to exercise toward others in the body of Christ. This kind of love builds up the body of Christ. Having spoken about how enduring love is, Paul next emphasizes this. He tells us that love is more enduring than anything else that we can think of. It's more enduring than prophecies and promises which have been made to us or that we've made to others. It is more enduring than anything we may learn or teach others. The reason for this is that when we finally enter into the presence of God, all the promises are going to be fulfilled in God. All the little bits of knowledge will all be wrapped up in God, who is the whole truth. The perfect God will cause the imperfect to pass away. And thus Paul says that while we are here on earth, we only see things vaguely, kind of like in a distorted mirror. And we only know things imperfectly. But when we get to heaven, when we actually see God face to face, then all will be clear. All will be known. In the final verse of our reading today, Paul brings together the three baptismal gifts of the Christian life: faith, hope, and love. These three greatest gifts will last forever, he tells us. But beyond the grave, one of these three is greater than the other two, and that is love, because God is love. We do not say that God is hope or God is faith. We only say God is love. If we are to be the body of Christ, if we are to overcome our divisions, if we are to worship God with all that we are, then we must live these three great baptismal gifts, these theological virtues, we call them. Faith is that gift from God which enables us to commit our whole self to God, because God is the final truth of our lives. Hope is that gift of God which enables us to desire heaven, to desire holiness, to desire God Himself as the answer to all of our longings, and then to persevere in seeking God above all else. And finally, love. Love is that gift of God which enables us to pour out or to sacrifice ourselves for God and for our neighbor. Ultimately, These three great theological gifts are what enable us to live as Christian individuals and as a Christian community, here on earth and with God both now and forever. That's why Paul began our reading this morning with this phrase, "Strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts." It's these gifts of faith, hope, and love. We can open ourselves to these baptismal gifts and then continue to have them strengthened within us along our spiritual journey, or unfortunately, we can let these gifts wither and die out in us. How do we keep this flame alive? We do so by setting our hearts on these gifts. As you well know, we do place our hearts on many things after all. We place our hearts on possessions, on family, on money, on being superior to others. Paul reminds us that we must set our hearts on what is of God, that is, His gifts of faith, hope, and love. If we do, then our hearts will be fully open to God's activating these gifts in our lives. Let our first seekings, our first yearnings, our first strivings always be for God and His kingdom, and then all other gifts will be given to us besides. God bless you all.